So here, I told the early service, I worked 2.5 days in the heat this weekend building a little storage building. So if I go down, I just want you to know, my wife is here. She'll handle the mouth-to-mouth, okay? If I go down, Jim, you stay in your seat, okay? That heat has been crazy, huh? Glad that you're here. Are we ready to worship?
Amen.
Shall we invite the Holy Spirit? You know that without the Holy Spirit here, it's just fellowship, right? But with the Holy Spirit, it's worship. So let's invite Him. Father, You are so good to us. We love You. We love You. We love You. We thank You that we love You because You love us. Would You send Your Holy Spirit into this place? Would You be high and lifted up? Stir our hearts today, God. Teach us something new about how deep and great Your love is. We pray it in the precious and holy name that is above every name, Jesus. Amen. You'll rise if you're able. Let's worship.
Amen. You may be seated. If the children would come forward.
Good morning. How are y'all? Hey, y'all want to scoot out a little bit? Because somebody's going to come stand up here in just a minute, okay? So y'all scoot out just a little bit more. Thank you. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Everybody have a great week? Yes, I know. It's summer, right? Has it been a hot week for you? Yeah. No, it hasn't been? All right. Well, not much? All right. Well, that's okay. That's what it is. It's summer, right? So I want to talk, we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. We're going to talk for just a few minutes and talk about church camp. Okay, so I just want to kind of share, and I've got some kids that are going to share some stuff, and then Brent's going to come and talk about mid-high and senior-high camp, okay? But we want to give y'all the opportunity to hear what camp is so that when y'all get old enough, y'all can go to camp too. Would y'all like to go to church camp? Yeah? All right. So during the summer months, we go to four different camps that we offer for our kids to go to. We have an elementary camp that are for, like, kids that have completed second and third grade, and then we have an older elementary is for kids that have completed third, fourth, and fifth grade, and then we have, of course, mid-high kids are sixth, seventh, and eighth graders, and then high school is eighth, ninth, tenth, and 11th, 12th. Anyway, so I'm going to talk about the younger two camps in just a minute, okay? So I'm going to talk about the younger two camps. The first camp was in June, and we had 8 kids and 2 leaders go to that camp, and there was a total of about 86 kids, I believe, that were there. And while they were there at the camp, they learned that Jesus is their shepherd and that they are their sheep and that we should follow Jesus, right? Should we follow Jesus? Whether you went to camp or not, should we know that we should follow Jesus? That's right. So, and also at camp, they did swimming and crafts and Bible study and hiking and archery and worship. And rock climbing. Oh, I forgot rock climbing. Thank you. They did rock climbing. That's right. So then in July, we took our older elementary kids, and we had 5 kids and 4 leaders that went to that camp. And while they were at camp, they learned that you're never too young to serve and tell others about Jesus. So they also went swimming, and they did a Bible study and worship, and they did a Bible bowl where they did a game on learning about Bible trivia and all that fun stuff, and they did hiking and archery, and then they got to do axe throwing. So it's, have you ever seen 4th and 5th graders throw axes? yeah. And thankfully, we were all good. Nobody got hurt, so it was all good. So it was a good safe. It was a good safe fun time. But it's always fun to spend time out there with these kids as they learn about God and just grow closer to Him. And so this morning, I've got a couple of kids that Marilyn and Kenny are going to share, and then Miss Diane is going to come share. She was one of the leaders that went with us, and so they're going to share about those elementary camps, and then Brent's going to share about the other ones. So Marilyn and Kenny, y'all want to stand up? Come on. All right. Come on. All right, so I had the 2 questions for you. What was your favorite thing about camp, and how did you experience God there?
My favorite thing about camp was getting to spend a week with my friends, and I learned that you are never too young to serve God.
Okay, all right. Kenny, do you know what your answers are? Okay, what was your favorite thing, and when did you experience God?
Okay. My favorite thing was rock climbing, and we learned about God through songs.
All right, and Miss Diane's going to share.
All right. Yes, our theme that we went on for camp was you're never too young, and we based that on 1 Timothy 4:12, and I don't know if our campers, if they can remember what that is, but maybe you can help me. So don't let anyone think less of you because you are young, but instead be examples by what you say, how you live, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. And we talked about that all week long, and it was kind of built into our Bible study time. It was built into our craft time, and everything that we talked about. And then we had different people come and share what God has been doing in their lives, and how they can serve God, and how you, as a young person, can also serve God right now. And so we had lots of young people who were excited about hearing about what it means to be a missionary. We had pastors, we had music directors, we had audiovisual people who came and even let us do some things on the computer. So we had lots of fun learning about what God might be planning in our lives so that we can serve him. And so it was an exciting week. We had wonderful, wonderful weather and wonderful leaders in our groups. And we thank you all as a congregation for your prayers and lifting us up all week long, because we really do feel those prayers all week long. So, and I think Marvin has some statistics here.
I do. Here we go. First-time commitments to Jesus, 10 at camp, 22 rededications, 21 felt the call to missions. I think that was because we had seminars involving both missionaries and pastors, 14 calls to pastoral ministry. So that was really amazing. And then we had, thank you. Give God the glory on that. There were some other commitments that we had. 37 kids said they were wanting to read more scripture. 24 needed a study buddy. 39 talked about praying for their school and their teachers and their friends. 17 wanted to volunteer for technology. So Arliss, get ready. And 19 for ushers. And some of the other folks. There were a couple that said being kind and being nicer to family, but there were others that were telling people who don't know God how to know Him better and praying for unbelievers. So
that's the future church right there.
Thank you. All right, thank you for sharing. So Brent, you want to come share?
So I asked a couple of y'all to come forward, so y'all go ahead and start making your way, and I'm going to put one on the she's already coming up. Awesome. I was going to call Zoe because I didn't officially ask her, but she's already walking up like she knew. Oh, okay. Emily told her. Good. So with that being said, like Carlene said, two of the four camps are middle school and high school, and so while they're out there for the older elementary camp, our high schoolers are out at the same time, and so it's really, really enjoyable to share the week together. It was really awesome this year for me personally because my youngest was at elementary and it was his first time as a camper. And so I was close by just in case he needed anything. And he was like, Dad, leave me alone. I'm fine. Which is great. So it's not a bad thing at all. But with that, the high school camp this year, the theme was iron sharpens iron. And I think that's something that we all can continue to live by. We not only talked about sharpening others, but the importance of keeping yourself sharp so you can be used as a resource and a tool to sharpen others. And we talked through spiritual disciplines, and we talked through what it means to be sharp and how you maintain sharpness through your walk with Jesus. And so I have two people to talk about high school, which is Emily and Zoe. And the questions were same thing. How did you encounter God, and what was your favorite part about camp?
Okay. My favorite part about camp was the worship. I guess that's also when I felt God the most. Was really just through worship and through my friends like Zoe, Eliana, Avery, because they just showed his love the whole time.
Hey, guys. I loved my group. They were so fun. We won last place, which was so exciting. I know. Thank you. We did amazing. They were the most fun ever, and even though we obviously are amazing at games, they just like had so much joy and had so much love for God, and we just had so much fun. I agree with Emily. I think that worship is just such an incredible experience at camp. You're surrounded by believers your age, and everybody just like doesn't care how they look and how they act, and they just like leave it all, and it's like, it's truly about God, and not everyone's thinking like, is it okay if I raise my hands? Are you going to get offended if I raise my, can I raise my hands? Everybody is just really like letting all of it go and letting God have like pieces of them. And anyway, it's just beautiful to see, and I love camp.
Awesome. And so like they said, worship is always a big deal with high school camp. And if you've ever been around any church camps yourselves, one of the things that's kind of always joked about is the night, like the night of like spiritual peak is always Thursday night, because that's the night everybody's kind of warmed into the week. Everybody's ready to actually worship and everything else. High school cuts that off. They don't follow the normal structure. You get out there Monday night, and they're ready to roll. And so it is a week full of just all abandon, all worship, and it's really, really great to see. And so with that, like I said, that was high school camp, and then we just got back from middle school camp. And our middle school camp, the theme this year was ironically the same as Marv's and Diane's, and it was the church of today. And so we also used the same passage and the same verse, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. And we talked about how you, in middle school, you are not too young to serve. In fact, you should be serving, and you should find ways to serve, not only in your local church, but in your community and your school and everything else. And so I have two, possibly a third, if you want to speak on worship. Okay. So one of the cool things with Mid-High is there's a ton of different opportunities. Shauna and I direct it, which gives us some flexibilities. But one of the cool things for the past 2 years, and I mentioned this, I think Billy mentioned this last Sunday, is the fact that our high school worship team that leads worship for us on Wednesday nights up in the youth room leads worship for middle school. And so we have four students that were involved in worship leading, with a few extra adults that stepped in to fill roles and help. And they were in charge of worship. And so it's really, really fun to watch high school kids leading middle school kids in worship. But then also we ask them to do many other things. We ask a few of them to run a seminar on how to keep your faith in school, and all kinds of different things that go on with that. We do sessions, we do seminars, but worship is always, especially for the past 2 years, been one of the things that's been really, really cool, because I get to see the high school that we've really, really poured into using their gifts and using their talents to pour into the next grade under them, as far as how to, and like an example and how to worship. And it's really, really cool. So I have three people that are going to share, and they're all going to share about different things. So Lawson is a camper at Mid-High, and Lawson is going to share about his experience as a camper. Lane was a counselor, and so she is going to share about her time as a counselor. And Emily also came as a counselor for that camp, but she also was on the worship team. And so I'm going to let all three of them share. So favorite part of camp and how you experience God.
My favorite part of camp was that I just got to spend a week with a lot of like Christian-based friends, stuff like that, and then I encountered God through worship several times throughout the week.
Oh, my favorite part about camp was probably worship, and that was also when I encountered God. It was just really great to see all these other kids experience God, because I know I didn't do that at my age, and it was just really great to see how hungry they were for the Lord.
Mine was also worship. No, but for real, literally, we have these things in ears, and so to keep us on beat, especially as somebody plays the drums, so whenever I took out my in ears, it was literally like the room was just filled with all these kids just singing and praising God, and it was just such like a beautiful thing to hear, like literally just taking out your in ears, and like, I literally just stopped playing for a second, and I was just listening to everybody like praise God, and I got teary-eyed, because I'm like, literally, looking back at sixth grade Emily, I was not able to do that. Like, it's just crazy at how strong they are in their faith at their age. So, yeah.
Awesome. And so with this being that we got out of camp on Friday, I'm not as prepared in advance as Marv and Diane were. We do have statistics, and I will be navigating through those papers on Monday, because I, like any normal, hopefully adult, went home and slept most of the weekend. Because even though they're middle school kids, they still stay up late. And with that, it's a lot of fun. But we do have to have some recovery time. But I know for sure we brought 13 campers from our church. We had 75 kids total, or 73 kids total, I think. And then we had 25 counselors, which is unheard of in camps we had so many counselors, and it was crazy because we were able to have flexibility. We had a counselor get sick and go home, and so it was like, it's fine, you're covered. We had enough where it wasn't a big deal, and it's always such a blessing. But then with that, we had four high schoolers come with me and Shauna as leaders for out of those 25, and so it was a really, really cool experience and a cool opportunity to be just once again to be with these kids and watch them do everything, because that's one of the beautiful jobs as the director is I'm over in charge of everything, but I don't really have a task that it's mine. So I just get to watch from an administrative standpoint and look at every piece working, and our high school kids were involved in many of the cogs making camp run, which was really, really cool. So with that, I am also tasked with closing us in prayer. And so if you'd bow your heads with me, let's pray. God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the beauty and the joy of camp. And God, as you've heard it too from these campers, you saw it firsthand as you were in the room with us. We just thank you for the passion and the excitement that camp brings to worship. And God, we thank you for just the reminder that we all need to get away. We all need that time of isolation with you to where we can find you with no distractions. And God, we thank you for the opportunity for that at camp. And we just thank you for all the kids that have made decisions, all the leaders that stepped out and took time. And God, we're appreciative of this church too, with their time and their resources and their finances that go towards camp, sending kids to camp, helping us run programs, all the different things that this church helps provide with volunteers and everything else. God, it's such a joy to be a part of this. And we just give you all the glory in this. We ask all these things in your son's name. Amen.
Well, good morning, church, family. Good morning, online community. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into the service that you are attending, either in the building or online. Let's continue to pray for these young people that I think God birthed something maybe new in a lot of them, and pray that comes to the growth happens and whatever God wants comes to fruition. Several things going on. Threads of the Heart Ministry is meeting this afternoon from 1:30 to 5 in room 210. And if you're not familiar with that ministry, it's a sewing, knitting, quilting type ministry. And these ladies have lots of projects that they're working on. They want to bless others with the talents that they have. And so if you want to get maybe connected with that ministry, you can come at 1:30 and they meet on the second floor, room 210. You take the elevator. Go out of the elevator, make a left, and you'll run right into that room. Our Wednesday night ministries have concluded for the summer, and so this Wednesday night we have Adventure Cove reserved for our church from 7:30 to 9:30. And if you're not familiar with where Adventure Cove is, it's at Rose Park. And so we encourage you to come, bring family and friends. We've got lots of room for people. And our Wednesday night ministries pick back up on the 20th of August, and we're having our normal, typical community groups and children and youth activities. Also, our pastor and Cheryl are going to lead a marriage class, and so if you'd like to attend that, you can sign up either through our app or through emails. It's been circulated, and there'll be an opportunity in the coming weeks to sign up through the bulletin as well. So if you're able, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You know, it's good to recite that together. The things that unite our hearts. So this morning, I want to pray through the bulletin, just the names in the bulletin. And these names represent situations. People need comfort and peace and healing, provision. And I shared this in the early service. There's a great story out of 2 Chronicles that Hezekiah is the king, of the nation of Judah. And the Assyrian army has surrounded Jerusalem, and they're going to wipe them out like they wiped out every other city that the army's come against. And so the leader of the army writes out a threat to Hezekiah, mocks Hezekiah's God. Hezekiah takes that. He goes into the presence of the God. Sounds like maybe into the temple. He shouldn't have been there because he's the king, but he goes into God's presence. And he lays that threat out on the ground before the Lord and said, God, if you don't move, we're in trouble. We are trusting you. And so I'd like to do that symbolically with the names in our bulletin, just kind of present those to the Lord and say, God, we're trusting you to do the things that only you can do in the lives of these people. So I'm just going to read through the names. There's some that may come to your mind that need prayer this morning. I just want to ask you to lay that name before the Lord as well. So join me as we pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. God, there is no one like unto you. Father, there's no one else we're going to pray to. There's no one else we're going to attempt to even trust. God, you are eternal. You're Jesus. You're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And my goodness, you have no competition. There's no one that's going to usurp your position, oh God, on the throne. And so we lay these names before you and ask that you move in power and provide what is needed for these people. Lord, we pray for Joyce Gamotes, Grace Jones, praise you for what you're doing with her eyesight, Ava McClendon, Brenda Harner, Simon Martin as he struggles with stage 4 cancer, Brenda Sauvay family and Brenda's passing, Bill McKay. God, pray for Austin Tice and his family. Lord, I pray for something had to happen there, for closure or a revelation of where he's at. Lift up Laura Reinbolt and Evelyn Mitchell, Linda Stanfield, Mike Wilkins, Jim McDonald, Don Patton, Samantha Gerngross, Bill Turnipseed, Ned Campwell, Betty Sue Arledge, healing for Tommy Poor. And Lord, I want to add Richard Arthur and Marcy and Larry Garza. And Father, there's so many more that need to know that you have not forgotten them. So Lord, would you just supernaturally move in power. We have desires to see certain things happen in the lives of some of these people, Father, but you know best. You are sovereign. So glorify yourself, God, as these people are touched, as they're encouraged. And Jesus, we thank you for opportunities to pray, and we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Say this every week, church, but thank you so much for your financial faithfulness. The offering boxes are by the doors. Also, you can give electronically. I know we've got a prayer team set aside to pray this morning. I would encourage you to seek one of those out. These are people that I trust, our pastor trusts, people that you can trust. And, you know, God may have brought you here this morning just for maybe that purpose, so. Seek the Lord about that. Take advantage of that. Let's continue to worship Him.
Good morning again, church. Welcome again to our live stream worshipers. If you are a guest this morning, we're especially glad that you're here. Hope you feel the Holy Spirit in this place. Hope you feel the love of God's people. If you are a guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you. would love for you to fill that out. It has a blue stripe, says guest registration. I'd love to meet you and have a free gift for our guests. I'll be at this end of the foyer after the service. So if you would turn with me to Psalm 23. Now, I mentioned last week, with that this Psalm 23, we're in a six-week series. We're taking this psalm, this probably the most well-known psalm for sure, week by week, each verse will be a week. And I mentioned that most of us know this psalm from the King James Version. And I said last week that there's nothing wrong with the King James Version. If that's your favorite Bible version, you keep reading it. But I don't talketh like that, so I don't use that. And when I said that last week, George, I'm calling you out, buddy. A retired pastor. George sent me this. Is this how you prepped for your sermons when you were preaching? Okay, here he sent me this, I guess, to help me. And it says this, it's a little bookmark. Oh Lord, guide me in this time of sermon preparation, constraineth my thoughts, inspireth my words, makest thou my researchest dependablest, that my exegesis therveth thee in thy sanctuary. I don't even know what that word is. Thinnereth thanks ameneth. That's how you prepped every week? Wow, you must have brought some heat with that those sermons, man. Whew. Okay, so I've compromised. We're gonna go through this in the New King James Version. It takes out the you know, yeah. Anyway, so read this with me. Psalm 23. Read this with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you'll pray with me. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the beauty of your word to us. Holy Spirit, would you speak? Would you speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. So as I said, we're continuing the new series, Sheepish. Everybody get your pen and change the front of the bulletin to sheepeth, the bulletin. George, you got me all messed up, buddy.
It was easy.
Yeah. Sheepish. Today's message is peace. We're going to look at verse 2, but just a quick little jump back to verse 1 that we talked about last week. We saw that that David is writing from the perspective of a sheep, that he has a shepherd. We are all like sheep. Now, I had in the early service and in the late service, I had two different people last week that as we were talking about sheep and the characteristics of sheep, they're helpless and not really all that bright and so forth. I had two different people tell me that you forgot to mention that sheep are bad. So that's your church. I don't know about that. So we're all like sheep. We need a shepherd. And guess what? I have good news for you today. We have a good shepherd. He loves us. He cares for his sheep. And today we are going to look at verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I want to mention again, give credit to this Philip Keller wrote a book some years ago called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And I have different thoughts and different perspectives that I pull from his writing. But he was actually for a time in his life, this Philip Keller was a sheep herder, rancher, whatever you want to call that. And so he understands what it means to take care of sheep, and he relates that to our walk with the Lord. The first thing he mentions as we talk about verse 2 here is that sheep have needs that must be met in order for them to rest. They're not, in his words, they're not natural born sleepers. They have to have all these different things in place to be able to rest. See if any of these perhaps may fit us. First is the sheep must be free from fear of attack for them to rest. He talked about how when he was raising sheep, he said there was a period of time where there were two wild dogs that were going through the countryside attacking the sheep. And he said before he even heard about that, he woke up one morning and 292 of his sheep were laid dead from two wild dogs. The sheep to rest must be free from the fear of attack. Secondly, he says, in order for the sheep to rest, they must be free from friction and tension within the flock. He talked about how the older ewes, there was a pecking order. And the older ewes would, if one of the younger ewes started in their mind started getting out of place, they'd go and butt them and knock them away from, you know, where they thought the most plush grass was or whatever. They must be free from friction and tension from the flock. Now, I want to use this opportunity again. I just want to brag on you guys. September, y'all been putting up with me in September. It'll be 23 years. That is a, man, I just celebrated 45-year marriage with my wife, and I thought she was really outstanding, but you guys also. To put up with me that long. But one of the things that I love to tell people is in my 23 years here, we've never had an angry meeting. Come on, if you've been in church in your life, if you've ever been on a committee, you know how astounding that is. I had a few years ago, I don't even remember who this was, but they were newer to the church. They had been here a couple of years, and they was their first time serving on a committee in our church, and we had a meeting. It was a normal meeting, and we laughed, and we cut up, and we took care of business, and we had fun. And we were leaving, and this person said, "Man, are all your meetings like that?" I said, "Yeah, it's a pretty typical meeting." He said, "Man, the church I used to serve in, if you weren't bleeding when you left, you hadn't been there." And I thought to myself, how sad that God's people don't represent themselves better than that. So I'm bragging on you guys. For the sheep to rest, they must be free from friction and tension within the flock. How we treat one another makes a difference, church. Thirdly, for the sheep to rest, they must be free from aggravations, gnats and flies and the different trials that come their way. And we have aggravations in our lives, don't we? Perhaps disrupting our rest, you think? And then finally, they must be free from hunger in order to rest. They must have full bellies. Their needs, their physical needs must be met in order for them to rest. We'll talk more about that in a moment. And one of the things that Keller points out is only the shepherd can meet those needs. Only the shepherd can meet those needs. It's interesting. He talked about once those two wild dogs killed 292 of his sheep in one night, he began to, for a while until the dogs were dealt with, he began to sleep in the field with his sheep to protect them as their shepherd. And it reminded me, we normally hear this passage around Christmas time, but Luke 2:8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. A good shepherd watches over his sheep. And church, is anybody else glad we have a good shepherd? Watches over us. Okay, so we're going to dive into verse 2 here. First thing I want us to look at, I believe the Lord is speaking to us. The shepherd offers rest. He makes me lie down. It's implying God's intentional care for us. It doesn't suggest that, it doesn't just suggest rest, like, oh, you really ought to rest. No, he doesn't just suggest it, he provides it. He provides rest. Sometimes we always have this good shepherd who is providing rest for us. We have a way to rest in him. But sometimes we resist that rest in different ways, don't we? I think I mentioned this last week. Keller talks about, he had this one ewe, and he said, man, she was the beauty of my flock. I mean, she was gorgeous. And she had gorgeous lambs. But he said the one thing about her, she had everything going for her, and I had provided for her every need, but she was discontented. And she taught her discontent to others, specifically her lambs, and the other sheep would follow her lead. She was always, even though he said, I had the most miraculous and elegant field. I said, man, the grass was lush. There was plenty of water. It was just, she had everything she could possibly desire, but there was something in her that was always looking to try to get through the fence, to get out of there. And surely none of us ever do that. Surely not. Well, this ewe, he called her Mrs. Gadabout, was his name for her, this discontented ewe. She ultimately was the guest of honor for supper. I'll let you unpack that for a second. True rest, church, is not in our circumstances. True rest is trusting the shepherd. That's true rest. When we trust him, no matter what the circumstances that are going on in our life, when we trust him, maybe there's relational problems, maybe there's financial problems, maybe there's illness, maybe a lot of people saying ugly things about us. But true rest comes from trusting the shepherd. Keller makes this observation. I love this. I think I put this in your bulletin insert. In the course of time, Keller says, I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep as to them to see me in the field. When keeping your eye on the shepherd and know that he's a good shepherd that's providing all of these blessings and he wants good things for us, to keep your eye on that shepherd provides rest. Secondly, on this second verse, the shepherd supplies nourishment. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. This is an analogy of the green pastures, representing spiritual nourishment and provision for us. I was thinking through some of the ways that perhaps God nourishes our souls. And a few things came to my mind. I think there's many others, but number one that came to my mind was his word. He nourishes our soul. Read his word. This is not just something, hey, if you read this, you'll be good and you'll go to heaven and it's not just a legalistic thing. This is a living, breathing word where God wants to nourish our soul with his word. Get in the word. He also, through our prayer, and prayer, we mistake prayer is like God, our giving God our laundry list of our needs and our desires, and that's a piece of it. But prayer is, sometimes prayer is just listening. And then it's kind of ties with this, the next one that came to mind was his presence, his Holy Spirit presence. I don't know, maybe it's just me, that we can struggle with quiet. Anybody else? Is it just me? Quiet. I'm an extrovert. You probably hadn't noticed that about me, but quiet. Sometimes I tell our staff, we've got staff full of introverts, and we'll have a meeting, and I'll ask a question, and they all just kind of go, you know, and I'm like, anybody got a thought here? I have to kind of pull it out of them. And I tell them, you introverts make me nervous. What are you thinking? What do you think? But silence is a blessed thing. In his presence, inviting his presence. One of the times that I feel like I do the best at this is when I'm driving to Lubbock for a meeting or something like that, and I've got 2.5+ hours, and I'll listen to worship music for a little bit, and then I just turn it off, and I'm like, Lord, I'm here. What do you want to talk about? I'm here. And so sometimes I'm expressing things to him, but many times I'm just like, Lord, what would you tell me? The Good Shepherd nourishes our soul. He provides all things for us to be satisfied. Keller also tells about, and I think I mentioned this last week, that he, before he bought his sheep, he had worked and saved and sweated to provide an environment for his sheep and saving up money to purchase his sheep. He purchased his sheep and he brought them into this lush field that had plenty of quality everything. And everything they needed was provided for them. And he said, my neighbor, who also raised sheep, had, in his words, he had no business owning sheep because he neglected his sheep. His field was dirt and rocks. And he said that his sheep were malnourished, they were diseased. And he said sometimes he would catch those sheep in that field, poking their head through the fence, looking into his field, trying to nibble on the remnants of the grass along the edge, almost longing. He said, I could just almost see them longing to be in the abundance of my field. That's what we have. That's what the world offers. The world offers us dirt and rocks. And we buy into it many times. But the Good Shepherd provides a rich field full of nourishment because he wants to nourish our soul. And then thirdly, this passage, verse 2, tells us the shepherd provides peace. I think this is my favorite. He leads me beside the still waters. This still waters is symbolic of the peace and refreshment and, yes, even actual survival that we have to navigate a tough world sometimes. You know, I did a little reading on this. Humans and sheep are similar in this sense also, that we are, we need water. We need water to survive. Humans and sheep, it turns out, both are made up of approximately 60-70% of our body is water, our cells, it's water. We desperately need water to survive. He leads us beside the still waters. Can you hear the nourishment in that? Keller tells, he says, normally his field that he had in the early morning, there would be dew on the grass many times, and he said just the sheep getting up and eating the grass with dew on it was providing the water that they had. And he also had water besides that. But sometimes during difficult seasons, droughts and so forth, he would have to lead them to, there was a, down at the bottom of his property was a spring-fed water source, and he would have to lead them out of the field down to this water source to meet that need. And he said, you could always tell the sheep that trusted the shepherd, they were right behind him. He'd walk them down, they're right behind him. But he said there was always some that kind of, he said, I could just tell they were thinking, I don't think this guy knows where he's going. And I'm thirsty. And he said sometimes there would be hoof prints that the other sheep in the front had made, and there would many times there'd be water, standing nasty water, in these hoof prints. And the ones in the rear sometimes would start to drink out of these nasty hoof prints. Anybody ever drank out of a nasty hoof print spiritually? We try to meet those needs. But shepherds, the shepherd's got good things in store for us. But we try to meet those needs in ways that are not of the Lord. Jeremiah 2 says, the Lord declares, my people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. You ever try to dig your own cistern? Try to meet those own needs? Jesus says, no, he says to the woman in the well, I'm the living water. You drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. You don't have to worry. You can, in other words, I think he's saying, you can trust me. You can trust me. I have rest for you, I have nourishment for you, and I have peace for you. The good shepherd wants you to have peace. He wants you to lie down in rich green pastures. He wants you to be filled with living water. Peace. I was telling the early service, if you've been here a while, you've heard this, but when Jay, my brother Jay, and September will be 25 years ago, Jay was caught in a pipeline blast and was severely burned, and they flew him to the burn unit in Lubbock. And for our family, it was a transformative moment, obviously, for our family. They flew Jay to Lubbock, and Mom and Dad and I and several others went to Lubbock and were there and in the burn unit, and it was we were grieving. It was a difficult time, but we were drawn from the Lord and from one another, and I'll never forget this, at least I hope I never forget it. There was a nurse, and Jay ended up going to be with Jesus later that morning, and a nurse came to me and thanked me, said, I want to thank you and your family. And I was like, thank us? I mean, we're a mess. What are you thanking us for? And she said, well, I work in this hospital. I see trauma, families in trauma every day. And she said, there's one of two things that I see. Peace or panic. And she said, I've seen peace in your family. She said, I can tell y'all know the Lord. Peace or panic? We have a good shepherd. Even in the trauma of moments, he loves us. He wants good things for us. And he wants to comfort us. One of my favorite passages where Jesus, I can just see him. I hope you can see him holding out his arms and saying, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. And to make sure his arms stayed open, he had them nailed to a cross. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. And Jesus also said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give as the world gives. I give you my peace, which transcends circumstances and situations and feelings, transcends all of that. Jesus is the living water. He wants peace for us. He loves us. He's our good shepherd. He lays down his life for his sheep. If you don't know that good shepherd like that, man, I pray you don't leave this place today, because he knows you. I saw a T-shirt online this weekend. The guy, he had a scripture or something on the front, but on the back's what really caught my eye. On the back it said, hey, person behind me, I want you to know how precious you are to God and how deeply he cares for you. He had it on big old letters on the back of his whole back of his shirt. And I thought, now that's cool. That's cool. He cares for us. He lays down his life for his sheep. If you'll bow your heads with me. Father, we are humbled at your great love. We are humbled that your sheep mean everything to you. Not only do you love your sheep, but Lord, you've admonished us to love your sheep as well. And sometimes that's difficult. But we trust you to empower us to love as you love. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your nourishment. We thank you for your rest. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing this last song, the altar rail is open as well. We're going to have a baptism. I hope you will stay. You know, the scripture tells us that when one person repents of their sin and comes to Jesus, all of heaven rejoices. So if they're rejoicing, we should be rejoicing. Yes? So if you rise, if you're able.
Oh,
be seated. Family and friends of Mr. Cole. Come on in, Cole. Y'all come on up. Family and friends, you can come right on in, Cole. Watch step there, bro. Man, I'm sorry you don't have any friends, Cole. Mom, get up. Mom, sister, get up here close. All right. Everybody, yeah, y'all snuggle in here. We've got a camera. They can still see. Cole, why don't you stand up for just 1 second before we do the baptism. So we talked about these questions I'd ask you. We've already visited on those, but I will ask you. This is publicly professing the faith that you already have. You're declaring that, yes, Jesus is your Lord. So I ask you, do you confess that you are a sinner?
Yes.
And do you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin?
Yes.
Do you want him to be your Lord and Savior and live in your heart?
Yes.
And you want to be baptized?
Yes.
Okay, now you can sit down. Dad and I are going to do it. Cole, I baptize you in the name of the Father. If you want your nose covered up. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, stay right there. Yes. You got in your eye? Okay. All right, so the other thing we talked about was the Holy Spirit, that God himself wants to live inside of you, and you've just invited him in, so we're going to pray that, okay? If y'all can reach Cole, if you can't, put a hand on a shoulder in front of you. Okay, his friends are like giving him the face claw here. All right. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for Cole. And I thank you, God, that when you were on the cross, you had Cole on your mind. You love him. Father, he loves you back. I pray that you'd fill him with your Holy Spirit. Father, that he'd ooze Jesus everywhere he goes, God, that you would bless him, that he would grow up, continue to grow up as just a mighty warrior for you, Jesus. I pray blessings on his family, on his friends. God, thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. There's some towels right out there, buddy. Okay. Church, if you'll rise for this benediction. Jesus is your good shepherd. That's good news, church. He died for his sheep. Go and tell someone we're dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do 4 things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.